This morning I'm actually really excited to share with you. I've got the thing on, aren't I, Dave? And I'm going to be talking to you this morning about fresh passion. Now it's kind of the beginning of term. It feels like a really important opportunity to take, to be able to talk a little bit and refocus us as a church. Now I absolutely love leading River Maidenhead. I've led here for 7 years, and part of what I didn't say when I was talking about the River Together was that I'm still going to be leading River Maidenhead whilst I've not quite passed my sell-by date, I don't think. And as I will do it as long as God says to, and so I'm still going to be leading River Maidenhead, even though I'm taking on responsibility for the other river churches and River's responsibilities beyond itself. But I'm committed to this church. And this morning, you know, I sat with God and I just said, well, what do you want me to bring this morning? And because we're between two teaching series, I just felt like, well, I've got a free rein to do what I want this morning. So brace yourselves, people. And as I was praying, I heard Holy Spirit say these four words to me. Give a clarion call. Give a clarion call. And I thought, well, that's not something I use very often. I wonder what a clarion call is. So I went to the dictionary to look up what that meant. And a clarion call is a call to battle. It's a summons to war. It's a strongly expressed request for urgent action. It's from old medieval English, and it means a clear and loud trumpet call. There you go. A clear and loud trumpet call from Maggie. Do you want to give us another one, Maggie? Fantastic. Thank you very much. Round of applause for our willing trumpet player. Thank you, Maggie. So this morning, there's a clarion call for us from the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you about not holding back. That's what I believe the clarion call is this morning. Don't hold back. And I'm going to be sharing that in three areas. I'm going to be looking at don't hold back from Jesus, don't hold back from church, and don't hold back from going. And none of those actually require us to do that, I hope, because it looks grim to me. I don't know, there's some funny comments going on down here in the front row. It's not me, it really isn't me. Leveling on me. Google images. And this morning, if you'll give me permission to be, I want to be quite straight and I want to be quite challenging. Because I think Holy Spirit wants to take us to new places in Him. So, let's go to our first one. Don't hold back from Jesus. Guys, I just want to implore you. Don't hold back from pursuing a healthy, thriving, life-giving relationship with Jesus. Keep pressing into your relationship with Him. Keep loving Him as best you can with all you have. The opposite of not holding back is holding back. And here it means not getting engaged, being isolated. Don't be isolated from Jesus. Don't not get engaged with Jesus. We've been reading Psalms this summer, and one of the first weeks we did Psalm 5. And God really, I just loved this verse from Psalm 5. It's out of the Passion Translation, and it said this. At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall on my heart. And that verse just grabbed me. And I could picture myself there morning by morning, laying out the pieces of my life before God and asking Him for His fire to fall on them. And what is fire all about? Fire speaks of passion. Fire speaks of us being hot in our relationship with him, not lukewarm. Fire speaks of refining. And part of our relationship with Jesus is that he transforms us. He changes us. And fire is about energy, isn't it, in the natural? And God just pours energy into us, into our life, spiritually, as well as physically. And you know, guys, we need Jesus. We can live life, we can survive through life, and we can get on okay without him. But why would we not want to have him at the center of our lives? He is amazing. You are loved utterly by the most incredible God of all. He is for you. He is with you. He goes ahead of you. He lives in you. He gives to you all that is his without hesitation. He releases to you life, joy, peace, hope, forgiveness, healing, blessing. I could go on. And you don't have to earn or deserve a scrap of it. You come just as you are, and he welcomes you and pours his grace and kindness into your lives without limit. Why would we want to hold back from that God? But you know, guys, we have to invest in that relationship with him. It will not just happen. It does take some effort on our part and some intention. The enemy of our souls wants to stop us from understanding all that's ours in Christ. He wants to make you feel small and defeated and worn out and useless and powerless. You are none of those things. In Christ, you are none of those things. But we need to look on the face of Christ every day to keep ourselves plugged in, to keep ourselves on the right wavelength, to keep ourselves online and not offline. Just coming to church on Sunday and listening to the talk, no matter how good it is not going to do it for us. That is actually like scraps from the table. And what Jesus invites you to is a feast. And actually, I think it's completely our choice how connected we are to Jesus. We are as connected as we want to be. Now, in our readings coming up, we're going to be looking at Moses and the people of Israel. And God called them eventually after wandering around to Mount Sinai, the bottom thereof. And he said, climb the mountain and be with me. And the people said, oh, looks a bit scary up there. Looks quite hard work to walk up there. Don't know where I'm going. Don't know where it's going to lead. I tell you what, Moses, we'll stay here at the bottom. You go up and you come back down and tell us what God says. There was the decision right there about how connected they were going to be with God. They were going to just choose to stay and let the leaders go up and be connected and come back and tell them what God said. And that's tragic, because God wants us all to be in that place that Moses got to as the one who knew God face to face. That's what he calls you to. He invites you to know him face to face. So that's why we've been doing Bible reading together for the last 18 months. That's why we've been getting into our Bibles as a church family. That's why we've done a prayer week. We're going to do more prayer stuff like that to encourage us all to learn how to connect with him, how to establish good disciplines of doing so. Because our lives depend on it. And actually the lives of the people in the world around us depend on it too. So I want to challenge you to keep reading. I want you to go and get one of these booklets that's now gone walkabout from my... Oh, it's there. Go and get one. And I want to challenge you afresh. If you haven't managed to do any of the ones we've done so far, do this one. I'd like Maidenhead to have 100% record. I'm not competitive at all. Of people doing this and growing in God. Because if you spend time in the Word of God, you will grow and you will be transformed. I want to encourage you to keep praying. To keep meeting with God face to face yourself every day. My husband here gets up every morning. He goes down and he sits in the office at the bottom of our garden. And the first thing he does for half an hour is spend time with Jesus. I watch him every day sitting in the chair doing it. You might need to make an appointment to be with Jesus. We need to be intentional. I know in my diary, if I don't make dates, appointments to do things, I just don't do them because time snatches it from us, doesn't it? Busyness and all the rest of it. I want to challenge you. Make an appointment every day to be with God, to read, to listen to some worship, to pray, just to sit and be with your God who loves you. And I want to challenge you to do whatever you have to do to keep your relationship with Jesus alive and vibrant. It's a new season. It's time for change. It's time to do things differently. I challenge you to do it. Here's our clarion call. She's gone. Don't hold back from Jesus. Okay, so, second clarion call. Don't hold back from church. We are the church. We are. We're the body of Christ here on earth. We're the gathered ones. We're the people of God, hence the name of our Bible reading series. We're the family of God. And you all have a place in the family of God. You all have a place in the family of God, regardless of who you are, what you've done, where you come from, what your background is. You have a place here in this family. And you also have a part to play too. And this is the place where we all join together to worship our God, where we're built up, where we're encouraged, where we're prepared for ministry and service to one another, but also the world. And I'm not just talking about Sundays. I am talking about Sundays, but I'm talking about our small groups, our times together, our socials, other groups that we may go to. I was reading in Matthew when Jesus says to Simon, "Who do you say I am?" That was a really pivotal moment for Simon. Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon, who was renamed Peter, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that revelation of who Jesus was and is what Jesus said, "I will build my church on that revelation. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out." The Passion Translation says, "The power of death will not be able to overpower it." We are intended to be so expansive with energy that the gates of hell cannot keep us out. That is our mission. It's our joy. It's our privilege. It's who we are destined to be as the church of God. Because that's how Jesus lived. And we're his body here today. So it's our destiny to be and to represent who he was and is. This church is so precious. Do you realize that? This church is so precious. It is so powerful when it's working right. It can be so beautiful in displaying the awesome, loving character of God. It is the hope of the world for the people who we connect with. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was a fantastic example of this on a Sunday morning when Janet, I can't see, where are you, Janet? Wave at me. There. Janet is amazing. You know, Janet just goes out and meets people and talks to them and invites them to church. And Janet invited somebody to church a few weeks ago, and this was the church working amazingly, beautifully, displaying the love of God. So Janet did the lift to church. Somebody greeted at the door and the person felt really welcome. There was immediately a practical need that came to light. Somebody else was able to jump in and help with that. The person had conversations with people. The person did not feel judged. That's one of the things they said. I did not feel judged. And everywhere else I felt judged. They came into the meeting, enjoyed the worship. The talk really spoke to them about God and creation and what God was like. Somebody else took them back for lunch after the meeting. It was amazing. It was the people of God being beautiful, being hope, opening their homes and their lives to people. That person actually gave their lives to the Lord during that week. Amazing. Saying, I've never felt loved and not judged in a place like that before, and I've never felt peace like that. This church has the capacity to be amazing. To be amazing, because you are all amazing, because you are the children of God, and he fills you with his awesomeness. I unashamedly love River Church. I know it's got flaws. Hey, it's full of people like me. There are things that don't work right. There are things over the years that haven't worked right. People that have rubbed me up the wrong way. People I've got on with, people I haven't. But I love this church. I've been committed to this church for 32 years. And I am grateful to God for it, because it's been a rock in my life. And in this church, I've met God. I've been challenged to be transformed. I've made relationships here. I've found life here. I would not be without this church. It matters to me. So I give into it. I give time. I give money. I want it to flourish. I want it to grow. I want it to impact this town. I want to see people change, like the person who came a few weeks ago. We can impact this town. We can impact this region. God's calling us on after him as the people of God if we don't hold back. But for that to happen, we all need to own this church. It needs to be more than something you just come to if you're free on a Sunday morning. We need to own it. We need to invest into it, not leave it to the few. Not holding back. If we hold back, here what that means is absence, the dictionary tells me. It means not being here. It means observing, just sitting back, just watching it all go on. It means watching from the sidelines. I don't want to live like that. I haven't lived like that for 32 years in River, and I've got so much out of it. So I just encourage you, invest yourselves, and you'll receive way more than you actually invest. Now, I've got 5 short points that I'm going to punch at you of ways that you can invest in Maidenhead River Church here and help us reach our full potential. We can work together to build something that not even the gates of hell or the powers of death around us can overcome. And I've got 5 suggestions as to how we do it, but I need a drink of water first. Okay, these are simple, short and reasonably punchy. Don't get offended. Number 1, love one another generously. There's no other way. We have to love one another. What hope is there for anybody in the world out there if we don't love one another? Now, you might not like one another, you might not get on with one another, but we're called to love one another, to treat one another with grace and honour. I exhort you to do that. We need to warmly welcome everybody who comes through our doors, regardless of how weird they are, because we're a bit weird, regardless of how messed up their lives are, because we've all been messed up and may still be a bit messed up around the edges. As we do it, we display the grace and goodness of God. And actually, guys, we're quite good at welcoming people. People regularly say to me, I felt really welcome. Let's be welcoming to one another as well, and love one another and care for one another and lay our lives down for one another. Point number 2. Be generous with you. It's really easy to be self-contained. This is my life. I do what I want to do. Be generous with who you are. Give your gifts of time, of talent, and of money. You know, River Church can only do what you enable it to do. We've had a great year where we've been able to recruit Beth as a youth and a children's worker, and that is going to bring such dividends. Where Nay, we've been able to bring Nay on for a day a week as a worship leader. The words are there somewhere. And we're already seeing amazing fruit coming out of that. If we want to continue to be able to invest in those things, we need resources to do that. So one of the challenges I want to give you this morning, we don't talk about money often, but I want to ask you to review your giving. I want to ask you to invest in this church as part of your life. Because what you invest means it's what we can do. I'm indebted to my husband, who is an accountant and therefore looks after our finances marvellously. But one of the things he does is every so often, and definitely every year, he sits me down and he says, we're going to review what we give. And we do. We sit down and we go, okay, what have we given? And I'm just going to be really honest with you. I believe in tithing. I believe it's biblical to give 10% of our income to the church. And we do that. Every year we give 10%, and then if there are gifts like Colin's gift and stuff, that's over and above. And I believe that that's what God calls us to move towards doing. We start from one place and we move on towards give, because it's about our relationship with God. It's about trusting him for everything we have, and everything we have comes from him anyway. So it's about honoring him. So I want to just challenge you to review your giving, to say, okay, Lord, what am I giving? What can I do? Don't let money hold your heart. Let Jesus be the one who holds your heart. And adventure with God. Because what we invest is actually what we'll see the fruit of at the other side. Point three. Breathe, everybody. Point three. Step up and serve. Please don't wait to be asked. Please just volunteer. If it looks like everything's covered, trust me, it's not. We can make it happen. We're quite good at making it happen. But it's not all covered. And we all have a part to play. And that isn't because you've all got to serve and go on a rota. That's because you need to be part of this church. As we work together, as we're team together, as we do this thing together, our hearts get invested and we see stuff happen. So number three, step up and serve. Number four, as a volunteer, or simply as somebody coming along and attending, show up and be on time. You have no idea how much it matters when others are working hard to serve you. So, in our diary, over all the years that we've been married, church has been the first priority for the weekend. There are some Sundays when we don't do it because of family holidays or urgent family commitments. But our attitude has been, it's our first priority for 32 years. And it isn't, we'll go to church if there isn't something more exciting happening, which is where I fear our culture is going to. And because of that, we've invested and we've stood up and we've been counted. So I just want to urge you, come. Come, don't be absent. Come and grow. Come and be part of this family. Come and invest in this family. And lastly, on this bit, the fifth thing you can do is pray. Pray and pray some more for River to be all that God has called it to be. In 14th century England history, there were holy women who placed themselves in little rooms in the basements of churches, and all they did was pray 24/7 for those churches. They prayed for the church, for the members, and for the kingdom of God to be extended. Those women were called an anchoress, because they were the spiritual anchors that held the church through all the storms of that century. Please be that anchor for River. Pray. A river that the gates of hell will not prevail, and we will walk into our destiny. So that's my challenge about not holding back from church. Our clarion call. Because if we are lukewarm about this church will be lukewarm. And then you'll come and you'll be disappointed, and other people will come and be disappointed, and we'll all be disappointed when actually we're the solution. I urge you, don't hold back from church. Okay, you ready for the third, don't hold back? Are you all still smiling at me? Smile. Thank you. Okay, don't hold back from going. So Jesus said this, now go in my authority and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them faithfully to follow all I've commanded you, and never forget I'm with you every day. So this church doesn't actually exist just for you or me. It's actually not all about us. It's also about the people who aren't even here yet, who haven't found Jesus yet. We've discovered something amazing, a life worth living that we can plunge into. But others need that desperately. So let's do whatever it takes to reach them, even if it means that we're inconvenienced. We might need to give up some time, some money. We might need to risk looking a bit foolish. We might need to brave our fears. But we can do this, guys. And I want to encourage you to invite your non-churched friends and contacts and people you run across, not literally, to come to church. Let us do the hard work. Let them come in and experience the presence of God, because that's what will bring them to Jesus. Be a Janet. Janet, you're amazing. I just honour you. And I just want to tell you, every 2 or 3 weeks, Janet will send me an email saying, I met somebody and I'm bringing them to church on Sunday, Kerry, just to let you know. Let's all get the spirit of Janet upon us. Let's be inviting people. Otherwise, you know, this church will just kind of get older and older, and people will move away. So this year, we're going to lose 4 families by the end of this year. And that's only because family circumstances have changed. Their jobs have moved them. They've retired and they've moved away. But that's 4 families less. And actually, that's, whilst that's 4 less people, that's 4 sets of resources less as well. So I encourage you, if we want to influence this town, invite your friends to church. And I'm from Psalm 24 this week, just so I'm on topic nearly. We read this on Thursday, Psalm 24. Wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you ageless doors of destiny. Welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come through you. That's about you. You're a living gateway. You are an ageless door of destiny. I invite you to stand open, so that the King of Glory can come through you. This is one of my favourite bits of the Bible. I just see that decision in me. In any given moment, I'm going to be an open gate, an open door, that King of Glory can come into this world through me. So I challenge you, don't hold back from going. So let me draw this all to a close. I call this talk Fresh Passion, and I actually haven't really talked about passion, have I? Fresh Passions, it's an exciting kind of a title. And we think of passion as determination and conviction and love, a strong desire. You know, when you've got a passion for something, you love it even when the going gets tough. But that word passion actually has its roots in the Latin word, which means simply suffering. So in Christianity, the passion is that short period of time between Jesus entering Jerusalem and ending with his crucifixion. Now, obviously, there was deep passion in Jesus for us. Deep love, deep compassion. But not the exciting kind of passion that we're all thinking, oh, fresh passion this morning. Actually, fresh passion is a fresh desire to lay ourselves down for Jesus and his gospel. So my question to you as I finish is, will you embrace that this morning? Will you embrace a fresh desire to lay yourself down for Jesus and his gospel? Our vision is to give everyone in Maidenhead tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters with Jesus. That's who we say we are as a church and as a body of people. It's so easy to kind of lose focus and get distracted and knocked off course. And that's why this morning I wanted to bring this clarion call of not holding back, of refocusing, of giving ourselves to Jesus and his gospel. So I wonder what Holy Spirit might have said to you this morning. So I just want to take a couple of minutes of quiet, just for you to ponder. And just ask, Holy Spirit, what do you say to me this morning? Out of all of those words, what's my bit this morning?